praise the Lord. You have to understand it. Then you will, it is only on this understanding that you can also now, rightly dividing the word of truth, you can understand why Apostle Paul said, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. Because narrow is the gate. Narrow. He said, strive. Jesus Christ said, strive to enter in. Strive to enter in there. You will have to walk it out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Salvation is described as a pearl of great price. It's a precious pearl. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So Jesus himself has recommended which way you will follow. When he said he is the way, beware of false prophet. Therefore, in Luke chapter 14, verse 25, hallelujah. This is the way Jesus Christ put it. And there went great multitude with him, from verse 25. And he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me, how many people have come to Christ? Come to me, all ye that labor heavy laden. How many people have come? And I see your hand. I didn't say come to church. How many people have come to Christ? You are not following. Be proud if you have come to him. Let me see your hand. Now, church, you come. Ah, church. Okay. Don't worry. Those of you who come to Christ, listen, we are doing Bible study. Giving emphasis to scriptures that will make you wise unto salvation. Let's look at it very carefully. I'm not rushing it. If any man come to me, verse 26, and hate not his father. People cannot break this down, the meaning of this statement. Hate his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his whole life, also he cannot be my disciple. What is it to hate? Amen. Is it to abandon your mother in the village, abandon your father? Is it every day Holy Ghost fire, chase them away? No. It's an estate. Hallelujah. Where you have opportunity cost. Where you begin to look at your scale of preference. Where you begin to look at, hallelujah, when anything, including my father, including my mother, my brethren, will stand on my way on this journey from earth to heaven, until you are ready to do away with them at any cost, you are not yet ready to be a disciple of Jesus. He said, even hating yourself, it means there are things that you will deny yourself. Verse 27. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Your cross is your sufferings in the course of following Jesus. And so before you begin to follow him, he wants you to count the cost of following him to be his disciple. For which of you, verse 28, intended to build a tower, sit it not down first and counted the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Less happily, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. And that's the essence of many Christians here. Everybody know you fire. All of a sudden, no more. Sister, you're not going to go to church again. Brother, you're not going to go to church again. What will happen? You will not understand. That's the answer they will tell you. And people begin to mock your faith, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king? Sit not down first and consulted whether he be able with 10,000 to meet with meet him that cometh against him with 20,000, or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desired condition of peace, because he knows he cannot finish it. So likewise, counting the cost, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. And he said, he that hath ear to hear, let him hear. The emphasis here is, before you make up your mind to say you want to follow this Jesus, count the cost first. Count the cost first. He repeated it in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, 25, and 26. Matthew chapter 16. He says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him do what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. 25. For whosoever will save his life, you see it, shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake, what will happen? Shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Hallelujah. From these scriptures that we have read, if we believe them to be true, then you'll understand that suffering is part of that way, Jesus said, from earth to glory. And Apostle Peter put it this way, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2 and from verse 19. He said, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Hey, Jesus. Did you read this place with me? Listen very well again. For even hereunto were you called. This is the call. Come to me. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin? Neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. 1 Peter chapter 4, from verse 12. This is the way Peter also put it. Whatever you are going through, listen, beloved, think it not strange concerning the very trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. It is normal. That's what Peter is saying. It is normal. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. On their part he is even spoken of, but on your part he is glorified through your sufferings. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, for that cross is an emblem of suffering and shame. That old rugged cross. But let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their soul to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. So, you can suffer according to the will of God. Praise the Lord. And let's understand something. Through the Rapture Watch program on the Bright Television, we looked at what is the true righteousness. And let me add here that trials, temptations, for the sake of the gospel, for Christ's sake, is part of the righteousness of the saints. So let's understand Revelation chapter 19 again, from verse 7, 8, and 9. In the light of these scriptures, let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. What is the evidence that she has made herself ready? And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is what? Is what? Is the righteousness of the saints. Verse 9. And he said unto me, the angel said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Verse 8 again. Let's read verse 8 again. And to her, the evidence that you are ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed. Where? In fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Listen very well. Especially, including all of us inter-message believers, we interpret this verse 8 of Revelation chapter 19 as the dressing of the word of God. Yes, it's the dressing of the word of God. Amen. But which part of the word of God? It includes the word of God that speaks to us, not only mysteries, but that assures us that all that shall live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. It is also part of the word that we dress ourselves with. And let me prove it to you. Go to Revelation chapter 7. Now, Revelation chapter 7, I read it from verse 9. What did it say here? After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with what? Are we together? With what? White robes and palms in their hands, and cry with a loud voice, saying what? Salvation to our God, which seated upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And if you go to verse 13, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these, or who are these, which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? From where did they come like this? This multitude dressed in white. And we know, praise God, it is a picture of the bride of Jesus Christ. Listen very well. Amen. And I know many people are following. Revelation chapter 7, listen very well. It is the bride of Jesus Christ. After the rapture, this is where they are placed. They are waiting for their crowns to be given to them. Waiting to come and rule the earth. Now, here, in chapter 7 here, they are only dressed in white robes. White robes. But in chapter 19, the quality of the material they are using, they are seen here, is now emphasized. It is now what? What? Fine linen. That is the material and color of royalty. This is the bride now seen, ready to come and take over the earth and rule and reign as the queen of Jesus Christ. So it is the same group of people you see in chapter 7, now ready to come and rule in chapter 19. So when I say it is the bride of Jesus Christ in chapter 7, you will understand what I am saying. Now verse 14 again. Verse 13 again. 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of what? Out of what? Great tribulation. This tribulation, listen, he didn't say the great tribulation. He just said great tribulation. That is a description of the martyrdom, the time that the Christians were being persecuted for the sake of the faith. And please, many Christians are still undergoing that persecution now. Many Christians are still being killed because they are Christians. Even now, that persecution is going on. Even now, this persecution, you are in the southern part of Nigeria here, so you will not understand what Christians are going through in the northern part of Nigeria. And I love what a police officer was telling me, a Christian police officer was telling me last week also. He said, the Christians in the south here, because he served in the up north there. He said, the Christians in the south here, he said, they are enjoying here. He said, you cannot know true Christianity until you go to the north. He said, when you go there, he said, they will come on a Friday or whichever day, bomb and burn the church. On a Sunday, burn and destroy the church. He said, the next Sunday, he said, the church will be full with people. He said, pastor, all of you are shouting, bride, bride, bride. He said, pastor, let one bomb explode in your church. He said, the next 1 year, you don't see anybody here. Who won't die? I'm bride. I am reading on. The great tribulation is for the Jews in the last 3.5 years. And it will take place only when we have gone in the rapture, when the Antichrist will face them. But this, those that came out of great tribulation, is the history of all through that Christians have gone through from the day of Pentecost, from the first church age, until the rapture takes place. And what happened? Let me read it again. These are they which came out of great tribulation. What happened? How did their garment become white? That's where I am going. How did their garment become white? What did they use to wash it? And I've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that seated in the throne shall dwell among them. Blessed be the name of the Lord and all the result that go with them. You will notice also in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4, these same ones that you see in Revelation chapter 7, the various groups that now in the millennium, verse 4, Revelation chapter 20, see the various groups listed there. And I saw thrones here is the millennium thrones where we shall come and rule. God showed Apostle John, and they sat upon them, And judgment was given unto them. That is the rulership of this earth. See the groups. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. They came down. They were ruling here. For the witness of Jesus. One group. They were also beheaded for the word of God. And which had not, another group, those who had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That is why they are seen wearing white robe. Also, you will notice in Revelation chapter 15, verse 2 and verse 3. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. A sea of glass mingled with fire. The process of purification. The fiery trials that Christians go through. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name. And on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, they were there rejoicing. Rejoicing that, amen, they were able to make it through serious trials, through serious persecution. On earth here, it was suffering. But here they are now, before the living God, rejoicing. So that you'll understand why Apostle Paul said that all that shall live godly, godly, godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. All. I repeat, that scripture is heavy, isn't it? All. Begin to think now. If they all never come, it is coming. Some are already in it. Some, their body is already attuned to it. So it has become part of them. But they will never deny him. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's not a strange thing you are going through. Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 11 call it clouds of witnesses. Cloud of witnesses. Cloud of witnesses. And let's see. One witness. Let's take a few witnesses from the Bible. Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 23. That is one witness. And he is our apostle. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Let's read it. Maybe let's start reading it from verse 23. Because what necessitated this statement from Apostle Paul is a group of ministers preaching that type of one-legged gospel and boasting that they are servants of God and making claims, giving reason that they are servants of God. So Apostle Paul said, it is foolishness to boast, but let him just join them in that foolishness. Then he now said, verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. Because it is foolishness to boast like that. He said, I am more. He said, in labors, more abundant concerning what is suffered in laboring for the gospel. In stripes, all the caning, the beating he received, he said, above measure. Prison, yeah, don't go. In prisons, he said, more frequent. Death threats, uncle, that he went through, very awful. Now, hear him. Of the Jews alone, he received 5 times, he received 39 stripes, he called it. I received 40 stripes, save one, that is 39. They killed him one time, 39. Imagine, what did he do for preaching this way? For being a Christian? For preaching the gospel? He said, thrice was I beaten with rods, rod or iron rod. Once was I stoned.
Thrice.
3 times. I suffered shipwreck inside the sea. A night and a day I have been in the deep, inside water. For the gospel's sake. In journeys awful, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watches awful, doing vigil every time, in hunger and thirst, in fastings awful, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. Then he said, in Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a whole garrison, desiring to arrest him, to apprehend him. A whole garrison. This is how he escaped. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall, and I escaped his hands. Continue chapter 12, verse 1. It says, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the word. Amen. He boasted of the depth of revelation. Yeah, so if you think you have a calling, Apostle Paul was, you never went to the level that God took him in the depth of the revelation of who God is and the salvation process. Verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Then, verse 7. Imagine, with despite all the relationship he had with God, despite all he suffered for the gospel to spread in the whole of Asia, among the Gentiles, he said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, something happened to him that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to perfect me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that I may depart, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, he refused to take it away, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my problems, in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, I take pleasures in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You know why I finished reading this scripture? If this will mean anything. Apostle Paul suffered an eye problem. When the Lord met him on the way to Damascus, that light that struck him affected his sight. And Satan was using it to torment him. See you now? You were the healed, the blind. You wear handkerchief from your hands. You wear, that is the messenger of Satan. You say, God, you say you are this, you say you are this. See your condition. Is that not the asset of most people God is using? God is using you to bless people with the fruit of the womb, but you yourself, you are looking for a child. God uses you to bless people, to pray for people, they will receive healing. You yourself, you are suffering from one stomach problem that refused to go. William Branham suffered with his own for 40 years. You see? You say God is good, God is good. God is good. God is good. God is good. House you look at every day. See the shoe you are using and you are preaching. God, you say, God, God is good. Messenger of Satan. Many of us have that messenger of Satan. All of us that will not close our mouth, proclaiming the gospel anywhere we go, letting everybody know we are in this world but not of this world. These worldly people are there to taunt you. It is not them. It is Satan using that as a messenger of Satan to buffet you. It's attacking your faith. To reduce your faith. To weaken your faith. To make you think as if you are serving God in vain. That's why this cloud of witnesses are here. To remind us, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.